Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, welcome to Patriot Family Chat. I am here just answering phone calls, and Bill and Chad are your hosts.
You better turn down the
phone.
Good evening, folks. This is Bill. This is Chad. We're coming to you from Freetown, Indiana. We're with the Patriot Families. And my, folks. If you paid attention, if you've been watching and listening to what's been going on across our country and around the globe right now, you about want to sit yourself down and stick your head in a tub of cold water and soak it because you just can't believe what is happening.
Why am I having so much feedback here, guys?
You may have to turn your volume down, yo.
My volume is way down, and my microphone has been moved way away.
That don't make sense to me. You still hear us? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. You guys go ahead and I'll just play with it.
Okay.
Wait a minute,
we got a serious thing going on with Syria here. And many different arguments over who used chemical weapons, the rebels or the regime. And here we go. Nobody's been in front of Congress to even talk about taking any kind of action, but they're talking. You get the feeling they're going to take action with or without. They're not even going to talk to Congress as they've done in the past.
I'm going to go around it.
Yeah, so here we go again, you know, same kind of story. I have a question, so I just don't even understand why we're even there. They can tell me, well, so many people died from chemicals and stuff, and, you know, that's within their country. That's a civil war. Would we want anybody interfering if we have a civil war, which we probably will, but with the way things are headed, in my mind, what about you?
Yeah, that's the way it's heading.
nothing that we have been raised believing or being taught, everything that we've been raised believing and being taught is being attacked from one way or another, is a constant attack. And now you look there in California and they want to tax Boy Scouts and groups like that. Basically, you're going to do things their way. You're going to adjust to their ideology. They don't have to give nothing, but they can take anything they want. California is going under. Economically, there is no saving it. They know it. We know it. Hell, everybody around the globe knows it.
Yes.
You can't continue to build debt upon top of debt upon top of debt and keep taking from the people. Eventually, anybody who's left in California, out of a paycheck, you'd be lucky to get 5% because the rest of it go in taxes to support their socialist ideology. That's the problem with that. You run out of other people's money. We talk about a debt ceiling. Why do they even have a debt ceiling? They're going to talk about a $20 trillion debt ceiling. And then right after that, if you had half a brain, you'd look at the debt clock, forward it to 2016, and see it's already going to be 24-5 by then. So it's redundant what they're doing. Redundant. They have no intention. I'm tired of talking about raising the debt ceiling. I want to see the debt ceiling do something it's never done. Lower.
There's a novel idea.
Well, we can't build our lives off of debt. You'll never be able to pay it off. As citizens, we can't do that. So why do we allow a government to do it, to continue to build debt up and debt up and debt up? How the hell did it get to 16-point-whatever trillion? Because no one has ever tried to make the sucker go the other way. They just keep piling up debt and putting off paying for it into the future. So that when they do a report and say, well, in 2015, our debt's only going to be this much. Right, but if you look at 2016, it adds another $3.5 trillion to it. And that's the scam and the games. That's what we're getting out of this government. That's what we've been getting out of the past government. Scamming game. Never tell you, if you don't put something in exact cursed words, you'll never get the truth. You will never get the truth out of elected officials. They will go around it. They will dodge answering it. Or they will jumble what you're trying to say or the question you're asking.
Well, that even goes with the media. Media changes everything up, too, to make it look good for them.
Go on. You're right. Go on. You can't trust the media any more than you can trust your elected officials. I was brought up in a world where if you couldn't trust a guy, you didn't want the guy around you. You did business on a handshake. You didn't have to have all kinds of paperwork and blah, blah, and lawyers and stuff. You did business on a handshake. It was based on trust. And if your word wasn't any good, you weren't any good. Well, we should apply that same principle to our elected. If their word isn't any good, they're not any good.
Well, none of their words are good. They're all causing lies.
Lies that we've let them get by with. It intrigues me how our elected think that we are so uneducated and so ignorant that if they say it, we're going to believe it because we're just that gullible. And what's sad is many people make that look true simply for the fact that they're indifferent. They don't want to come out and say anything. They don't want to stand up. They don't want to know.
They like that free ride. I like to sit back on the couch and not have to worry.
No, it's not just that. You got people who just don't want to be involved.
True.
Well, whether they want to be or not, all of us, whether we want to be or not, we are involved because they are doing these things to us. They are intruding into our lives at every facet of our lives.
Kids,
They're going to be in my refrigerator telling me what I can keep and what I can't keep for food. They're going to be telling me, telling my kids how to raise and what to teach my grandkids in their homes. They'll be doing home inspections. And believe me, when they do these home inspections, as listed in the health care bill, they're going to look for a gun. If they find a gun, then they're going to charge you a whole lot more money for health care. And that's just what we're seeing. It was an article today about a Democrat congressman wants to tax ammo 50%, handguns 20%, and stuff like this. If they can't outlaw them, they're going to bankrupt you for owning them.
When are they going to stop the good people?
Well, the whole thing is they cannot bring about their world global order, their Agenda 21. They can't bring that into effect until they can disarm the American public. They already thought they'd have had this done because they thought so many people were just going to rush out and give them their guns.
But as Americans,
they have staged, and you can call me nuts, but to me they have staged several situations across the nation just to push their agenda.
Oh, yeah. I see that. Every day you see the shootings and stuff, and I think that's all been backed by that.
Well, I think that we have a gun problem. We have a cultural problem. We have a morality problem. If you look all around the globe right now, Christianity is being attacked. It may not be attacked in such a violent way, but it is subtly being attacked here on many aspects of the thing, of religion. We're not going to be allowed to have our religious beliefs and follow our book. They're going to want to change our book. We have to follow our religion the way they say we follow our religion.
One thing they can't take from me is Jesus Christ.
Well, I feel that way. Many others do. Others feel different ways. But the main fact is they don't have a right to tell us who we worship and who we can't worship.
That's right.
Nor how we can and can't worship. They seem to be catering to a certain group.
The Muslims.
Well, I wasn't going to say it.
But sorry.
That's all right. But they do. They seem to be catering to that group specifically over others. If you look around the globe, Tunisia, Libya, Egypt, and now Syria, it seems that our government is supporting our enemies with weapons and money. The Muslim Brotherhood is not.
They're our enemies.
When you look at who they're made up of, they're our enemies. And yet, we're giving them money, and we were supplying. It was okay to give Egypt weaponry when the Muslim Brotherhood was in control, but now that they're not, we're not going to give them weaponry. In Saudi Arabia,
no,
I have a question. And maybe I'm wrong. If I am, hey, somebody call in and tell me. I can take it. Am I wrong in thinking that here Saudi Arabia is backing the Egyptian military against the Muslim Brotherhood, but at the same time, in Syria, they're backing the same groups that's tied into Egypt, that are tied into Syrian rebels, they're backing them. It's like they're playing both sides of the fence. Well, that's true. You have to, Cal's got it right. You have to tear down if, and I think that's basically where atheism comes from, but someone couldn't live amongst the Christian rules, so they became an atheist, and so that whatever they did that was immoral or whatever was no longer a sin in their eyes. It doesn't change God's eyes. It's his eyes that matter.
Yes. Every knee shall bow.
My own opinion, I don't think we belong in the Syria thing. That's a civil war at the moment. Now, is it going to escalate? I don't know. I don't know if it won't. I agree with Rod. We have no right in a civil war. What if our enemies had joined against us in a civil, and we were in our civil war? Or what if we have a civil war today? Do we want Russia or China or the Muslim Brotherhood to be jumping into that war?
Or what if they attack us with one of them? weapon?
Well, that's a risk we take. Our government takes for us every day by admitting all these Muslims into our country. But we have our own nuts in our country to worry about that's liable to do something like that. It's not like it was when we were children and there was just a handful of people here or there who could do these things. Now there are thousands of people out there who have learned and been educated to the point that they can do these things.
Okay.
There is the threat is that you've taught so many different people how to make a chemical weapon or how to make an explosive or something, and you don't know what all them people are doing.
Nope.
You think Ted Kaczynski didn't get that smart on his own? That's just a common idea. But when you bring in people here who advocate, I mean, they don't come here to be American. They come here to change America and to the crap hole that they left.
If you want that, they need to go back.
Well, you have to have a government that's willing to obey the laws and the rules themselves and push them. And what you have is you have an extreme amount of your elected or invested in businesses that either hire, employ, or for low wages, or they either house them at ridiculous prices. When you understand how that's done, if they pay, charge one couple so much a month to live there, and then they charge cash so much for each other people. There may be 20 people living there, so they're getting cash for 20 people each week they never turn in and never pay taxes on.
They'll be rich.
There you go. There's no sense in having laws if you won't enforce them and make no attempt to enforce them. That's the sadness about our immigration system is we have had all these laws on the book, but they have never attempted to enforce them. So now they're saying the law is broken. The law was never broken. The law was never enforced, and therefore it didn't work. And anything they do now, well, why should we trust you? There were laws in the past. You didn't obey them either time. You didn't obey them before 86, and you didn't obey them after 86. You refused to enforce the laws, so why even play around and act like you're going to do anything? The American people, pretty much the majority of them, are awake and see the truth of this. You have no intention of enforcing them laws because you need those people to help destroy the American culture as it is.
That's right.
And to weaken it to the point that the people and masses are easier to control. You don't like education. That's why Common Core dumbs down. It's a dumbing down process. It's not an educating process. It's a dumbing down process, an indoctrination into a liberal progressive ideology that has failed anywhere it's ever been tried. The thing of history is you repeat it. Here we are repeating the same, fighting over the same things that we have fought for and over in the past. We have taken our freedoms for granted, and in such they have snatched them out from under us using the EPA and every TSA and whoever else, every way they can come at us with their government, giant growing government, total control style government, where eventually there will be more people working for the government than work anywhere, and that will be a disaster because who pays them?
We do. We the people.
Well, and I really, when I look in perspective at the numbers of death around the globe, there's one number that really jumps out at me, and I never hear anybody really throwing a big fit or screaming about. But the number of people who die from a pharmaceutical drug far outnumbers how many die in war, yet no one is screaming about it. We have a giant pharmaceutical conglomerate that sell treatments but not cures. And almost anything they do sell has a side effect that's worse, most of the times is worse than what you had to begin with.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
Every day if we watch, we see on TV, we'll see a commercial here or there about if you took this or if you took that, where there's a civil suit being filed, you know, a class action suit being filed.
Yeah.
And some of these are pills and stuff that have been on the market for 20, 30 years. You got to wonder, people. You got to wonder. Are we being scammed?
Yeah.
Well, sadly, in this country, throughout history, every time you turn around, there's been some kind of scam invented. I mean, we've seen it from pyramid scams to, I don't know what all, chain letter scams.
Yeah.
I mean, you name it, all the way up to higher, bigger scams. Bernie Madoff, global warming is a scam. Man-made global warming is a scam. It's a scam to make those that are invested in carbon exchanges and controlling the carbon exchanges filthy, filthy rich.
Yeah,
and super powerful.
And when they figure out that it's just a cycle.
Well, what the Almanac said, we're expecting a hard, bitter winter. What? Somebody call Al Gore.
They'll just use that hard.
It's pervasive not only there in California, Linda. It's pervasive across the entire country. It's into 21. I don't think you can name anything from the monetary stuff going on, from the rules and regulations and grabs for power and control going on, for the cultural destruction going on, our ability to defend our nation going on. It all of it, every bit of it, points right there to Agenda 21. They are all pillars of Agenda 21.
Yeah.
And I've always said, you know, if we could just take out three of those pillars, three of them, we will win this war. But you have to get people to wake up and stand together and use some common sense. These people, I like to flip out when I see some, I don't know what you call them, climatologists,
yeah,
try to back global, man-made global warming ideology, only to end up looking like a fool to anybody who knows anything about common sense, about science, and the history of the planet at all.
You're right.
And I've had several times when I have had the chance to debate a climatologist on the ideology, and as he gave his reasons, I gave reasons, common sense reasons, why he was full of it. Use your heads, people.
It's common sense.
If we, you don't see anyone telling you, look up the Chicago Carbon Exchange, look what it was about, look all, who all was involved, and realize that all they did was sell that off to hide, so they could go hide and buy it into other carbon exchanges around the globe. But they're still invested in them. They're still the big players. And you see the scam right there in front of your eyes when you see who all is involved in it.
And the pockets will get lined with that.
Yeah, these pockets were going to get lined with it. It wasn't mine.
It wasn't mine.
If they really wanted to do, to, if this carbon thing was really to benefit mankind, then instead of these people who are running these exchanges and stuff becoming multi-billionaires overnight, that money would be going more to the people of the globe. But you're never going to see that happen. Never. I've always been a big thing against lobbyists. One, I don't believe anybody has a right to contribute to a political campaign except a citizen, a single citizen, because only a citizen has a vote. A corporation doesn't have a vote. A lobbyist group doesn't have a vote. Only an individual has a vote. And if you were to limit that contribution to a fair number, size number, for common guys to come, at least come close or matching it or whatever, you would take a lot of the corruption out of the government. Your government's corrupt because you allow them to use insider investing and trading to build their wealth. They're sitting there deciding what company gets what, and they're padding their own pockets using that information. And we
Amen.
Sit back and look at it.
Amen.
Oh, yeah, the health care bill's good enough for us, but it's not good enough for Congress or the president.
Oh, no.
Republicans. You won't see the Senate rejected. We have gone, fallen, and went total reverse from the way this country was meant to be set up, where the people were the voice, the people were the power of the nation. And now we have surrendered our power to the elected in the Congress and the Senate and the White House and their cronies and their minions, and we're suffering for it. Do you think any of them are going to turn their ways to help us out?
No.
It's not going to happen. We've got to remove these people who have been established in office, who are doing nothing but their own self-greed, exactly, whether it's for the power or the money, or both. We've seen it across this nation, another immorality. It's not money that's evil, it's the love of it that's evil. And some people love it to the point more than they love man. And that's a sad thing when you love money more than you love man.
And I get nowadays that you have to have money just to survive.
Well, yeah, I couldn't go off and live in the woods now. They'd be finally running me down to tax me for some damn thing.
Oh, yeah. We're using their strength.
I'm a big fan of term limits. I've always thought that these people should not be being set up for life. They should come in, serve their terms, leave, and go back into the workforce, whatever they were doing before. We should not be setting them up for life at our expense.
It's not just them we're setting up for life, it's their whole family.
Well, that's true. We set up their whole families for life, and then we get an elite class that thinks they're better than the rest of us. And, well, there we are, what we have now. I have to wonder, the hardest part, it's not the reporting, it's not the researching and stuff, but it's convincing other people who either have no source of media or knowledge or you know, outside sources. Some people don't even have radios. But people who, any media they can get is a, basically a propaganda media for the government. And so trying to wake up a huge amount of the populace that has no clue what's really going on, that's the wall we face. That's the wall we got to get across. We got to figure out a way to reach out. We've got to continue to reach and reach and reach. We're growing stronger. We are. But are we growing fast enough? And at what point do we scare those that we're going against to the point that they instill martial law to hold on to their power?
Well, I've got 7 new members today. Was that Menard's talk to this boy? He was like 27. And he's like, Tea Party? I said, yes, the Tea Party. He says, how do you join? And I gave him my card. And he says, well, me and 7 guys will be listening tonight. So we can reach him. We just got to get out there and talk to them.
Well, yeah, glad to see you there, Ron. But the amount of people, and you know what I'm saying. Everybody out there knows what I'm saying. And you go out and talk, and people who actually know what you're talking about, there's a small percentage. The rest of them will walk off or whatever. You'll have some that will come out because they've been noticing things on their own. They're getting curious. And that's a thing. When the population starts getting curious, something didn't seem right to them. Something just was out of order. And they got curious. And then they start to check into things. And when they start to check into things is when they wake up.
Well, they just have to open their eyes. I wasn't awake. I opened my eyes and, man, you wouldn't believe the things they try to get away with. I mean, they're going around the Constitution, going around Christianity. It's just wrong.
Well, it goes beyond that. We are to the point where using their water meters, their electric meters, they'll be spying on us with those things. They'll be watching us use the bathroom. They'll be watching us sleeping in our bed. They'll be watching us anywhere we go, anything we do.
I won't have nothing electric in the house.
Well, it'll go beyond that. How did we get to here? And what purpose will this really serve? How do you take away a man's desires? Because what I understand, and maybe I'm wrong, call in, tell me if I'm wrong, if you think I'm wrong, disagree. But I think that it's a man's, it's the desire inside of a human that drives them to be successful or not to be. Lack of desire, you won't be. Desire, the more desire a person has inside them, the higher they'll go. And it's parents' duty to instill that, the desires, into the children, but they're still going to grow up with that anyway. It's like a competitive thing. I don't care. You put two kids out in the field and they start running, they're going to race.
Oh, yeah.
That's just how it goes. But they want to take that desire, that competitiveness, out of people so that everybody is equal. Good luck with
happen.
That.
That would never happen. Because I'm no equal to other people.
Well, neither, all of us are different. And that's what, to me, that's what makes the world such a great place.
That's right.
Is that we are different. So, if everybody was exactly the same, it would be like just a boring existence at all, at the best.
Oh, yes.
And why someone would advocate for that kind of thing, I don't understand. I know the elitists think, oh, they're going to be having the great time on all this. And I've been asking this question around, and I get some wild looks. They want to depopulate the planet. They want to take the population down between 500 million and 1 billion people. Now, Bill Gates, Michael Bloomberg, Oprah Winfrey, there were many others. They all met over in, I believe it was Europe, about population control. And they came up with this number, 500 million to a billion. And I got to ask people out there who support anything that this government is doing, do you think worldwide, if the population gets reduced to that, means they've got to get rid of about 6 billion people, a little over, do you actually think that you're going to be one of that billion to 500 million left? And people should think about that and ask themselves that question. Do you really think you will be one of that 500 million to a billion globally left? And how many of them will be the elitist, and how many of them will be their slaves?
That's right. That's right, amen.
Yeah, good point, Ron. Georgia Guidestones. They kind of talk about that, don't they? Odd. But there you go. All those people that's on the in-between, Rod. All these people who've been helping support this, all this ideology and stuff, all these who are in the between, they're the ones who are actually probably in the most danger when all this hits. Because then, once they can do this, then them people serve no purpose. They're not the worker bees. The worker bees are under or below them. They will serve no purpose. There will be no reason to push propaganda and stuff on such a large scale. There will be no reason to have union leadership and stuff. Oh, no, no. That'll be the government then, for sure.
Hello, Ryan. Go ahead, jump in. I'm not here.
Hey, you're not here?
No.
Wow, I'm hearing the voice of the goddess in my ears.
I'm just picking up the phone, so I'm not here.
Go, Mr. Ron.
How you doing, guys?
We're doing great.
How about Ron? How's he doing?
Well, I'm not too bad. Are we all ready to start waving the American flag and send our boys off to Syria now?
No.
I'm not ready for that, Ron. I would be against it in any step. That's a civil war. We got no business.
Boy, you got that right. You know, kind of a continuation of last night. We've had a whole lot of wars that we ain't had no business being in.
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Well, you know, I actually heard Joe Biden a clip of Joe Biden where he said something absolutely lucid and intelligent. Of course, it was back when Bush was in office.
It's odd how their ideology changes when the other person's in charge.
Hello, you're on air.
Hey, yep. Yola, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you.
Jump right on in.
I'll hold on a second here.
That sounds like Michael Magic, but, you know, the reason I had actually called in is when you and Chad were talking about, you know, equality, and Chad said, well, that'll never happen, and, you know, he's right, and we all love Chad, but there's no way he'll ever be as good looking as me.
Good one.
I would have expected that kind of a thing out of Robert.
Talking about that,
and I'll never have red hair. So, I mean, you know.
Well, you know, the whole thing is wrong. You know what we're saying. You can't, it's a thing inside a person that makes them strive ahead, you know. And some people are driven more internally than others.
Yes.
And, oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
How does the government, with their ideology, plan to take that out of them?
Chemically, probably.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, all you got to do is look around. It, like I said yesterday, it's like Patrick Henry's speech. Who in the hell do you think Homeland Security is buying all these MRAPs for? Because if you really believe they're buying them to go serve arrest warrants, you're an idiot, you know?
Well, yeah. Why do you think they bought multi-millions of Brown?
Well, in case they have to serve those arrest warrants, you know. And they're in their MRAP, so you can't be as accurate with your gunfire in one of those. You just stick your pistol out through the port and fire away until you hit somebody. So, you know.
Anybody in the way gets it too.
But you got to figure it. They're arming the IRS. They're arming the EPA. And these kinds of, you know, it kind of blows their.
And then they want to take our guns.
Well, yeah.
Well, and you know, the sad thing is that the folks that work for those agencies that will go out and do the dirty work, okay? Of the people that are really the problem, they don't know any better. They're just doing their job, and they, you know, that's part of what you're seeing going on right now with this race baiting crap. It's building up so that you hate other people, and they do it with the police. They do it in training to teach them that, you know, we're not citizens. We're scumbags. We're criminals. We're terrorists.
Yeah.
Makes it a lot easier to shoot somebody that you don't like.
Yeah, that's like today. The thing came out where the Department of Defense was teaching that our founders were terrorists. Were, you know, radicals.
Radicals.
Common sense seems to be a short supply in our nation, Ron. Common sense.
Sure. You know, have you ever, in regards to World War I, have you ever heard of the Christmas Truce?
No.
Well, I'll tell you, it had the elites pretty pissed because out on the front, on the Western Front, when it was getting close to Christmas time, and the Germans... A bunch of the Germans came out of their trenches with their hands up, you know, telling the Brits, hey, you know, don't fire, don't shoot. We just want to get, you know, our buddies that are hurt. And so the Brits said, okay, you know, we'll do the same. And so they were tending to their wounded, and pretty soon the Germans were helping the British bury their dead soldiers, and then they were swapping cigarettes, you know, smoking each other's cigarettes and telling stories, and the higher command got word of it, and they were pissed.
Oh, yeah.
And so they put out orders. That shit's, we can't have that. I mean, we can't have these guys along. They won't kill each other. And then right before Christmas, on Christmas Eve, they had another truce. And they were, the next morning, they were singing Christmas carols together. Just imagine if you had a war and all the pawns that are sent out to die for the scumbags that are perpetrating this crap. If they all just put their guns down and said, hey, how you doing, man? And just, you know, everybody had a good time. That, or they all joined together and said, how about we go get those SOBs that want us to come out here and kill each other? And let's see to it, that, let them fight it out. Let's let them fight it out. Let's have a big cage match.
Well, it goes along with that song you played at the beginning of your show, War Pig. Politicians only start the war.
Yep.
They don't go out to fight. They leave that all up to the poor. So
no.
It's actually their political might.
That is absolutely, yep. That is absolutely true.
It is true. That's where we're at. Who instigates all these wars? It's not the people. It's the elected, the politicians.
Well, and why? That's the biggest thing. Why? Because, you know, as I said, there is not, from where I sit, and I've studied a lot of our history in this country, and I have yet to find a war that the United States has been engaged in except for the Civil War that was a defensive maneuver.
You're trapping my life.
No.
1812, the War of 1812, we invaded Canada, for God's sakes. The Mexican-American War, the Spanish-American War, when one of our admirals blew up one of our own ships in the harbor at Havana to blame it on the Spanish.
And I think we're seeing that same kind of action that's going on today where someone is doing something and then they're blaming someone else.
Yep. It's commercial
no
interest.
No one has proven to me who released what in Syria. If anything was released, no one has proven to me who did it in anything that has been said. And if anything, I have had so much both sides of it that I'm sitting here saying, we got
no
business with them.
Yeah. Well, exactly. The thing is, you know, you reckon maybe Obama's indecision is because that's what was going on in Benghazi and we were trying to get that chemical weapons back?
How many people have died there?
I don't know. How many Americans have died there?
Well, I'm going to put it this way. The number staggers when you compare it to the number of Americans who have died here on our soil at the hands of an illegal alien since 9/11, 2001. The number staggers. Yet our government seems to want to ignore that factual truth.
Well, isn't that the case? You know, we ignore the invasion of our home country, our own soil, our what's supposed to be our sovereign territory, if there is such a thing. You know, I don't believe there has been since Lincoln. There's no sovereignty. That United States was destroyed during the Civil War, and a corporate United States took its place.
And that's what we're seeing. I see people put articles out. A young guy put out an article about it's the corporate world. Well, does he not realize that right now the biggest part of the problem in the corporate world is the corporate government?
Well,
and that's what we have, a corporate government.
Absolutely. That, you know, I said before, and I wasn't even half joking, that when these SOBs run for office, they should have to wear their corporate sponsorship patches just like NASCAR drivers.
They should.
You know, when they get up there for their debates, you can have Eli Lilly and GE and Bank of America patches all over their three-piece suits.
You know how when they're building a new building, they put that sign out front? Well, that sign should list every elected official that's invested in that new business. Let people know who's really playing what.
Well, and, you know, it's just like these... They make hundreds of millions of dollars, billions of dollars in war, and hundreds, billions more rebuilding after they blow crap up. And you look at where it's run through the IMF and the World Bank and the Bank of International Settlements, and they go in and we blow crap up. You have these companies that get government contracts. It's absolutely infuriating. They have no bid contracts, cost plus contracts, like they had over in Iraq, where, you know, the company orders $2 million worth of office equipment, computers, and they get the computers there, and, oh, it's the wrong operating system. So they just dig a hole and dump them all in the hole and order new ones. Why? Because it's cost plus.
Guys, we've
got
another caller. Hello, Ben Lang. Hello, 208?
Yes, that's me.
Who's me?
Quiz.
Oh, hi, Quiz.
Hey, Quiz. How's it going, man?
Hey, Quiz.
Well, I'm listening to you people, and you do pretty good. I mean, I've always enjoyed the way you dig into things. But I think that we're missing something here. There's a key that is here that is kind of maybe lost. In why it's being done. Why would a emperor, which now Obama is, go to a small country and go up against another superpower, aka Russia and China? Because my thought, from what I'm learning, what I've been told in my group, is that they are losing here terribly. They wanted the guns gone. They wanted to be able to encapsulate all these TSA together, and they're just starting to give them guns now, and their Viper teams and all this. They haven't had the joinings of the ex vets like they thought they would have. The vets are so in tune to what they're doing that the vets are the ones that don't get thrown into jail or running and hiding. And this scares a sociopath. Sociopaths, they got to be in control of the situation. And therefore they're not. And that is really, I think, the essence of all of this. Because they are so afraid of losing, now they're going to put all their marbles into this basket. Even to the point of causing World War III. Because they need to be able to come back to the people and say, this war now is a world war, and you need to support it or else. And with a rating of, I think, 9%, I don't think they're going to be able to do that. And what's going to have to happen here is we're going to see cataclysms, government overstepping its boundaries within the United States. And I think that we're going to see a very sad time.
Well, I see it as a sad time. Could be another way. It could be a form of distraction and a way of having our military up on the ready so that they can do whatever they want to do here using their own forces. They've already built through Homeland Security, the EPA, the IRS, and through the UN. Because they have to disarm us to bring about their agenda. And they just haven't figured out how they're going to do that. They're trying to figure it out with doing it with as little bloodshed as possible. And I don't think that's going to work for them. The American people standing up against them was something they never foresaw happening in 2008. And it hasn't stopped. The American public has still started standing up. They're still painting. They're still digging into things. They're still searching for the truth. And they're discovering the lies. And you're right. They're like psychopaths. You make them afraid, and then they react in ways that are, well, that's when you get a Hitler. That's when you get a Mao Zedong and these kinds of guys in there. And Obama is just on the verge of that. I believe that. He's about to lose it because he is losing. He's losing the youth vote. That's killing him. And the young people are figuring out they're the ones who are going to be carrying the brunt of the health care bill. That's killing him.
They are becoming the very reactionaries they wanted us to become.
Yes.
Well, if you look, if you look at Obama, okay, he's an actor.
I try not to.
He's a freaking actor. He reads off a damn teleprompter. He does what he is told to do.
That's why Reagan was so good at it.
Now he might you know, buck up once in a while, but for the most part, he does what he's told. That's why he was put in power. That's why we didn't get Hillary Clinton, because Robert Rubin gave Obama the golden touch, or the Midas touch. Robert Rubin was Clinton's Treasury Secretary. And Rubin commands the attention of the top bankers in the United States, John Corzine and the rest. And they knew damn good and well that Obama would do anything they told him. Unlike Hillary, who would do anything they told her, but she would command a price, quid pro quo. Obama's not smart enough to do that. But if you watch what's going on, you go back and listen to what Clark said, and despite his political aspirations, going back to 2001, he laid out all the countries that, you know, he was told we're going to go into. Libya, Tunisia, Iraq, Afghanistan, Iran, Syria, Somalia, and Egypt.
Did he tell you why?
No.
But we know why, because I told you people why a long time ago. This has to do with the oil cartel. They want total control of the oil in those nations, in that upper Africa, Eastern Mediterranean. They want total control.
Petrodollar,
they have they have people there. They have a nation there that is coming into play, like China, who's trying to take control of it. Now, this scares them also.
Oh, well, sure. And don't forget, next month, not very long, we're the 27th right now, and so we've got, what, just a little over a week, and there will be a new G20 meeting in St. Petersburg, Russia. And the BRICS nations, Brazil, India, China, Russia, and South Africa, have already stated, way back in March, they're starting their own bank that's going to directly compete with the World Bank and the Bank of International Settlements and the IMF. And they're going to settle their debts amongst the BRICS nations in their own currencies, and the hell with the West.
Huh.
So what is that doing with the Fed
here? Yeah. Well, it's got them. We're in a bit of a pickle then, aren't we?
Well, what are they doing?
The BRICS nations represent,
what's QE3 and QE4 for?
Yeah, well, it's economic stimulus to prop up the banks, but
there
it's not
We're
working.
Paying for our own debt. We're creating more debt to pay for our debt.
And the bad thing
we can't even pay for the
interest on the debt we have.
No, and what, you know, they're talking about this recovery. Okay, the Federal Reserve Bank through QE3. Is pumping into the economy $85 billion a month. That's 6.5% of our yearly gross domestic product. And yet, we're told that our GDP, month over month, is growing at 2%. Well, if you're adding 6.5% and you're only showing growth of 2%, that means the actual growth is negative 4.5%.
Exactly.
So what's happening to
Ron, you're using real math, and they don't use real math.
Well, that's using their numbers and their figures.
Well, I've always found Ron to use common sense.
but their numbers are never right.
That's where I always had a problem with them and their numbers, even in the debt clock. The debt clock leaves out so much crap where the debt's actually $77-78 trillion.
Well,
it's probably around $140 trillion, to be honest.
Yeah, but see, this is how they play the game. Okay, it's just like Obama and his little sleight of hand when he comes out the other day, says, we don't have a deficit problem. He's right. We don't have a deficit problem. We got a freaking debt problem.
Yeah.
A national debt problem and an unfunded liabilities problem going into the future. But bigger than that, we've got a currency problem with a derivatives problem on top of it. And it's big trouble.
And there's
you're talking about a derivatives exposure in the market that is 100-fold the total production of the entire globe.
$1.24 quadrillion.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. The total global production is like $66 trillion.
Yeah.
And now you understand why they're doing what they're doing. Because they've got themselves backed up against the wall. The only way to control the people is by going to war.
Well, they're going to have to go to war with the people, which is what I believe they're planning on doing. Which is why they're buying all the MRAPs and all the ammo.
Why they're building all the, they're cleaning up and totally stocking up their facilities underground and stuff.
And that's why I bring out the point of the story of the Christmas truce, because that's the reality of these wars. The men fighting the actual wars, killing one another, they really don't have anything against the other guy. They got no beef with him.
How could I hate someone I've never known?
Well, you don't know Obama.
Why are we doing this, gentlemen? Why are we allowing ourselves to go into this position, into this condition?
Well, that's what I've been asking. Why do people consent to this crap? Why?
Well, you don't, and I don't, and these people that are here don't. But here's the key.
No.
We're only a few of many, because most of the many now are put underneath the lights of this wonderful emperor. They take the schooling, they take the drugs, they take the poisons, the foods, the drinks, and they're underneath a form of sleep. And to break out of that sleep, you've got to end these things. And where in welfare, I see welfare growing, but I don't see it getting any less.
You know, a godsend would be a giant solar flare that would, like, knock out electricity to the entire globe.
Well, I came into Idaho. I finally moved back to my area where I'm from. And I was met by a sheriff, city council, other members of the county commissioners. And we sat down and we had a long discussion about what this whole situation was about. And the sheriff of three different counties and the county commissioners of three different counties and the several commissioners from, or several of the county, city. All these towns are tied together they all hate the Federal Forest Service. They hate the BLM because these guys keep them from going up and doing their work. And many more that come in here have to leave and go back to the cities where they know there is just welfare. And this is bringing about it's bringing about a situation that I love, because I came up here to mine, and I thought I had a gold mine and wound up with a platinum mine. But the thing is
nothing
now
wrong with that.
I can, huh?
Nothing wrong with that.
No, but the thing is, my main purpose with this was to build up a structure whereby these small cities through this area could support themselves through community actions. I got infrastructure that I need to build in place for doing nothing other than building hot houses. They can grow their own food, things like this. Because when the food leaves, you're going to have to produce your own food. When the ability to manufacture your own stuff leaves, you need to manufacture your own. I've had feelers out throughout the country, bringing people in here that work in construction, bring people that work in as machinists and those to build up another infrastructure within the state here. And it has to be done, because if we don't do it, we're going to get caught very shorthanded. But here we have people, sheriffs, city councils, commissioners, that say, hey, I'm sick and tired of Agenda 21. I'm sick and tired of thinking about ICLA. I'm sick and tired of seeing that they want to give me $1 million to put a known carcinogen in my people's waters. And they're starting to own up to their responsibilities, and they're starting to come across. This is what needs to be done throughout the whole free nation. Once that's done, then we have the ability to stand up in front of them, hold up our hand, and say no more.
Yeah. Well, you know, Quiz, we've talked about that before. It starts at the local level. And, you know, regardless of what others think, that's the truth, because the way it changes is one heart, one mind at a time. And you're not going to do that in Washington. Those people are so damn entrenched in garbage that I don't know that they'll ever get out of it.
I did what I promised I would do, Ron. I went out and I found my niche, and I built on it, and I'm continuing to build on it, because my heart is with my country and with my family and my and all those people that I've dealt with in my life, and that's what my job is. That I made my job, and that's what we're going to have to do. Freedom and justice are only worth it. It takes the sovereign action to precipitate all of it.
No, you know what riled me up was when I realized what this meant to my grandchildren and my children. That thing inside me clicked and got to fight now, because I'll be damned. I won't let you do this to my children and grandchildren. And I live in an area, we're a rural area. We are a hill boy.
Right.
Ron can tell you, we are a hill boy. And... You're coming in these hills and stuff. Mother Nature was good to us, because there's not much in any time of year we can't find something to eat in our woods or in our fields and stuff. We know how to grow stuff. We know how to hunt, to fish. We know how to can, to dry, we're old-fashioned people. We're just still hill folks. Doesn't mean we're not educated. It just means we choose the simpler life. We choose to be away from the hustle and bustle of the big cities. And when things do go apart, this is where the trouble will be, because these people will not know how to grow food. They will not know how to hunt for food. They will not know how to take care of themselves and stuff.
Hamster girl, we just live it.
Yep. But I mean, they think they know how to take it.
I'm going to tell you something, Ross. Right as the show started, heard a vehicle, looked outside, was swerving from something, looked outside, there's about 20 turkeys standing out in front of my house. I choose that over looking at...
Were any of them running for Congress?
Do what?
Were any of them running for Congress?
Well, I bet
you know the midterms are coming up pretty soon. I thought maybe
probably,
they were electioneering here.
My congressman is a guy with big ears that can fly. Todd Young, I mean. I have a pretty good governor. I was proud of him. You heard him the other day with his comments about the health care bill in Indiana. And, we're just not going to go for it.
Well, you know, I've heard that talk, and I mean,
and
he may be different.
Court. We have a better system in Indiana right now than that system is.
Well, I think most
do.
I heard
everything.
We heard big talk out of our governor down here in Georgia, and he's just a scumbag. You know, they all talk a good game, but you really got to go dig through their finances and look through who's greasing their pockets, and then you'll find out the real deal. These guys are snakes.
We have a state system called Hoosier Healthcare. I don't care who you are. If you can't afford it, you can get on Hoosier Healthcare. There's no sense for us destroying that whole program, costing us billions of dollars to redo our systems and stuff, but with Obama's system. We're all covered.
Well,
and,
I told you before.
Everybody can be covered.
But see, the state won't be able to do that anymore under Obamacare. And I told you before, the whole idea behind Obamacare, hell, I didn't have to tell you. Obama told you. The Congress told you. The goal is a single-payer system. But that's small potatoes.
We've had to go to the court with them. Indiana's had to go to the court with them before. We have a voter ID law that was upheld by the Supreme Court. We have a... You have to have a warrant to search law that was upheld by our state Supreme Court. It was never challenged in the major courts. We have the most expansive charter school system in the nation. We're probably not going to change that because the simple fact is a lot of people in our state are waking up to the education system. The government pushes is nothing more than an indoctrination system and has long been that. We're an old-fashioned backwards people in Indiana. We don't like people coming in and meddling.
But, you know, I think this whole Obamacare thing is the biggest distraction of them all.
Oh, yeah. And it
I really do.
I
think it's
if
the...
Anybody actually ever read the damn thing? And I have read it several times. It just blows my mind because we're not even beginning to hear the bad things that are in that bill.
Nope. It's ridiculous.
It's coming out on the net about the home inspection. Hell, I was telling people that in 2008.
What did Pelosi say?
Oh, we got to pass it before to know what's in it.
That's right.
But
you know, right
to
there
me,
is a very key
to me,
word.
If you don't read the bill, you should not vote for the bill.
None of them do, hardly.
No,
well,
they don't read nothing.
Who was the other guy? Who was the other guy?
Some of them get they can't read.
Who was the other fellow, the older black gentleman that had a moment of truthfulness? And he said, you know, they say you need to read the bill. He said, well, what good does it do to read the bill if you still don't understand what's in it? You need a team of lawyers to do that. And he's 100% right.
Wasn't that Clyburn?
James Clyburn. But he's 100% accurate.
Yeah, he was.
And even the lawyers don't agree on what the hell it says. For God's sakes, they can't agree on what the Constitution says, and it's pretty damn straightforward, plain and simple language.
Well, so what's happening?
In that healthcare bill, Ron, I can understand they're not understanding because you get in there and one part of it will contradict another part of it.
What do you have here? What is this engendering? What is the purpose behind doing what they did? What is that key? Because
it's destroying the rule of law. The rule of law becomes the law is what we say it is.
Okay. Let me put to you, the Hegelian dialectic is the ability of one person to inject different sides to each equation, and in so doing cause a massive argument between good and the bad parts of any situation.
Problem
and
reaction.
Solominski did this real well.
Yep.
You never find a solution. And that's what it's happening. It's very simple. It's a very simple technique, and we make it very complex. What we should have done is taken the bill, thrown it to the side, and went about our business.
It goes right along with pushing a lie until it's accepted as truth.
Warming.
Oh, exactly.
Human beings are the best at getting themselves into a mud pile, seeing the shore, and still digging ourselves into the mud pile.
Yeah.
We can't seem to get ourselves out of it.
No, and our two-party system is destroying us because there's no way a third party could do anything because they'd never get any media, they'd never get any of the advantages that the other two parties have set up for themselves. So we're pretty much screwed there. I got a bad, sad feeling that we're going to be looking at the Republican Party pushing a Jeb Bush or a Chris Christie or somebody like that, and there's no way I can support anybody like that.
Then what is the two-party system, party system going to do for you? It's going to do simply nothing.
Well, the establishment of the GOP is fights the Tea Party right alongside the Democrats.
But, Bill, you remember what I told you about when Penny and I went up to D.C. and on the way back, I got tired of listening to the Patriot Network because it was just repeat shows. So I thought for grins, you know, a little Shinzu, know your enemy. So I flipped over to the liberal channel, the left-wing radio. And after about 20 minutes, I started laughing because I realized something. My wife looked at me and she's like, "What's so funny?" I said, "All the commercials. They're all the same." See, no matter which side of the aisle or which argument you think you want to take, the marketing, the corporatism, it's all the same.
Exactly.
It's the same bunch of corporate BS bullshitters on both playing both sides of the aisle. And when Obama was running for president, the big bankers gave Obama $5 and they gave the Republicans $1.
Okay, what's the
answer? And it doesn't matter who wins because they're going to pay off this guy or that guy because the commercials are all the same. The product
exactly
that they're selling, the crap that they're pushing is all the same. And it doesn't matter if you're black, white, Hispanic, liberal, progressive, tree hugger, conservative, Republican, neocon, war hawk, Jew, Gentile, none of that matters. Long as you keep buying.
If you want to get stopped, if you want to stop getting bit by alligator, stay out of their pit.
There you go. I don't get shark bit. Probably won't never get shark bit because I don't go get in the ocean.
Gentlemen, you have the answer right there. All you need to do is sort through it. Because if you look, and I've shown you all Hegelian dialectic, and I know it quite well now, it's by the very dialectic of Hegel that we are under today in this country. And we need to become more astute to how to look at it and worm our way out of it. Because once we come together in that prism of looking at things from the outside, knowing what the truth is on the inside, and in respect to what this government's going to do and what they're doing and what their purpose is. Once we establish that, now we have to find the way to put it to the outside so we can look in and know how to, and nothing other, work within it, because we're losing our jobs. Today they're lying to us about 633,000 homeless in this country, when I can show you with beyond a doubt that it's 2 million homeless people going on to 5 million homeless people, because I've been there. I've been around the California tent cities and that, places where they live underneath the banks.
Want to use that 11 million illegal number, and the number they know, that number is not even close.
Go out to Denver. You know what they do with the homeless folks in Denver?
Put them in FEMA camps?
Nah. They bus them in and out of the city every day.
Holy crap.
I'm not even kidding. Every day, they line them up and get them on buses, and they take them out of town to a park. And every night, they bus them back in.
It's like this housing news they've been bragging about. Oh, housing market's up. What they're not telling you is how many of them mortgages and stuff were bought by the Federal Reserve. And that's what put the market looking up.
Well, I can tell you right now that the housing market is not up. There were 35 million new home purchases, new home starts. That's the lowest in decades.
Are you sure it was 35 million? Are you sure that they didn't throw in a few commercial buildings in that?
I'm pretty sure they did.
They did.
No, I wouldn't doubt it. Not in a minute. I wouldn't doubt
well,
it.
I studied this thing backwards before because I thought that the housing industry is going coming out of it. They throw everything in there. Well, if somebody goes out and builds an outhouse, they throw it in there.
Well, you think about it. Think about this. Right now, you can get a home mortgage for 4% interest. Mm-hmm. A few months ago, you could get a home mortgage for 3.5% interest. Mm-hmm.
In 3 years, you're going to see that go up to where people can't afford their houses.
It'll be 12%.
Yeah.
I know where it's headed. I know exactly where
it's
headed.
And the thing is this is what we need to bring out. This is the things that we need to get out there. Because we're breaking the very dialectic that they're trying to form.
Well, and that's why I said, you know, people need to stop consenting. You're talking about, people are worried about losing their job. Why do you have a job? What's the point of having a job, right? We need to become more self-sufficient. The problem is we've become dependent on the government. We've become dependent on this network of commerce that's been created.
And there is my major problem because my parents raised me to be independent.
Mine too.
But, you know, no man can be an island unto himself. You know, if you were going to make all your own clothes and all your own shoes and grow all your own food, make everything that you possibly needed, you'd never have time to sleep.
I've eaten a lot of
cat
tails in my
life. That's why we tend to... Yeah. I used to burn those for skeeter repellent. But
no, you take the heads when they're young and you cook them and boil them in water. They taste just like corn.
I'll be dang.
What's that?
Cattail heads.
Cattails.
Oh, wow. You catch them when they're young, you throw them in a pot and cook them, and they taste like corn.
Damn.
You take the roots, you clean them, and you take and dry them, then you take and grind them up. Now you got flour for bread.
There you go.
Simple.
I knew about that,
for
but I didn't
ways,
know about... Yep. Well, boys and girls, I am going to get off of here.
We're
appreciate you guys letting me.
A few minutes here. Glad to have you. As always, it was just great to have you on the show. There's so much, you know, that everywhere we look, though, there's something. It's coming at us from every direction. And you really... Yeah, I can see where so many find it's hard to focus on really what's the major issue. What's the major thing happening that they're trying to distract me from seeing? And there's a treaty they're talking about, an international treaty. It's starting to bother me, and I'll look more into it, and I'll next week I'll be talking about this treaty. I think Ron hit a little bit on it last night. That it's a treaty, and it's going to affect our country, and it's basically going to push all the propositions of Agenda 21 right upon us.
Michael, are you still on?
Hello?
No, it looks like Michael's call's still up here, but he dropped out quite a while ago. Oh, well, I guess he's not.
He might be training his Lapua 338.
Oh, wait a minute. That's you, Quiz. Good. Glad you didn't leave yet.
I bet you got a P-38 on your keychain.
So I got a Lapua 338, too, and I clean it whenever I hear about treaties.
Yeah, it's an oceanic treaty that's going to give them so much leeway. It's been talked about before. I can't remember what it was called. The Sea Act, I believe, is what it was. And it got rejected. And it's basically handing power and control over to the international body over our water right-of-ways and stuff.
I wish we had more time. I could go into that right here that I've heard from EPA here. See, they've been trying to stop mining operations. I've had to bring in my son, who is a legal beagle, and he's had to do a quick learning on mining law. And we've been able to feed them the very laws that they seem to misunderstand. And it's really helped because now the miners are using our paperwork to supply to them and say, hey, why are you doing this? And the thing is, they can't enter it because their people, their employers, tell them, you do it our way or it's the highway.
It just amazes me at how much stuff just keeps going on, and no one, you would think people would just be running into the streets when they're seeing this stuff and realizing happening.
We are a nation of
sleep.
But that goes back on the media.
It goes back on the media.
Well, everybody knows.
Education. If you're a conservative teacher, a professor, you can get attacked openly by liberal professors all across the country and nobody says anything. I'm thankful for my time in my schooling that I had teachers who put teaching before themselves. They weren't teaching because it paid them. They were teaching because they loved to teach. And I had many wonderful teachers at Brownstown School, at Seymour School, at Kansas State University, and several smaller colleges after that. Too many names. I always had great teachers. There were some that weren't so hot, but most of the time. And now when I talk to teachers and stuff, I feel like, oh, my God, how is this person even smart enough to be a teacher? using our kids against us. That's what they want to do. They want to use the youth against us. They want to keep us divided on race, on sexual orientation, on ideology, on religious tendencies. You know, they keep us divided because if we ever stand together, this corrupt government will fall. And I believe we will establish some rules and stuff and some openings and stuff to where there can never be this kind of condensation of power by such a group. And I'm referring to the progressives on both sides of the aisle.
Question. How many people did it take, how many percentage of the population did it take in 1776
3%
to bring us into a country that has never been known or probably will never be known from this point on?
3%, and Chad and I and Lonnie are all pretty proud to say that our ancestors was in that 3%. They were here before this was a country, and they were part of that revolution at that time, whatever they want to call it. And I feel that today, those people, if those kinds of people that did that 3% that stood up years ago, if they were alive today, they would be pulling their hair out if they had hair, because what this country has turned into since then, oh, my God.
Gentlemen and ladies, it's not what we take from a nation. It's what we learn to put into it. And by that, we have the ability to learn from our elders and give that to our children. But the key here is through education. And when you have a tyrant that takes control of education, now the truth that used to be becomes a lie in their mouths. And
yep.
They control the very education system. Now you control the people. And I never did let allow my children to go to school. I taught them myself. And they did seem to do okay there. But the thing is it's up to the people. We let it live and die in what we do. And when we forget what this nation was based on and where it should go to and believe in God in its direction, we're going to lose the very values that our forefathers brought into being. It's not that they all believed in God, but all of them maintained that they had to form it upon a law. Well, it was formed on the common law of God. Well, that in itself shows we were the first and the only nation that was formed in that context. Where did we take it from there? We have to relearn what they taught us.
And now we have turned so far away from that, and that's why we're seeing such a disastrous, everything you look at, disastrous economy, disastrous future-looking outlook, disastrous defense system now, disastrous immigration, disaster here, disaster there. It's just, you know, we have turned away from them founding principles from God and from the founding principles of common law, and we're trying to accommodate so many for only one reason, for the power that they will give a few. And sadly, we've got to, if we're going to have world depopulation, I suggest we start at the top.
Yeah.
They always remember, freedom and justice are only words.
Yeah.
Freedom and justice are just words. It takes action by the sovereigns to precipitate what their action should be.
I choose to go through life being honest, trying to be respectful of others, and being faithful to my God and my country. I ascribe to the I Am Third theory of Gail Sayers' book, that God first, my country, my family, my friends, and all the other people on the planet are second, and I am third. I'm content with my life, and I think if a lot of other people put things into perspective, they would find contentment in their lives.
I agree. All right, guys. Well, it's been great having you all on here. You guys, Chad, Bill, you did a great job. Quizno, always a pleasure to hear from you. You should come around a little more often. We miss you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You guys all take care. Bill, I guess we're just going to sign it off. I can't sit any longer. Had enough. You can run through the shows if you want to.
Go ahead and run that ad. Let them know about the other shows. And
God bless.
God bless. Chad and I are off to here. Everyone have a good night.
Good night.
And everyone be blessed and be a blessing to others.
Amen.
All right. Good night, everyone. God bless.
Blog Talk Radio and Patriot Family is where you need to be if you want to be informed and inspired 5 days a week. On Monday at 7:30 p.m., you can listen to the Constitution Hour. On Tuesday at 7 p.m., you can listen to Patriot Family Chat. On Wednesday at 7 p.m., you can listen to Right from the Left Coast. On Thursday at 6 p.m., you can listen to Patriot Education. And on Friday at 7 p.m., you can listen to Exposed but Never Forgotten. All times are Eastern Standard Time. Hope to see you there.